You are listening to Tech Wrap, the podcast. We are online at techwrap.net. We do the Twitter thing. You can find us by looking for Tech Wrap Podcast on Twitter, at Tech Wrap Podcast. We are on Omni. We are on player.fm. We're also on iTunes as well, if you like to podcast online. Hello, Will.
Where else do you podcast? Well, aside from online.
Oh, well, yeah, yeah.
You can come see us and we'll give you the MP3 file onto your phone.
If you would like it that way, we can do it by sneaking it.
We had a couple of weeks break, but now we're back.
We did, yes.
Season 2, as we're calling it.
Things were getting a bit busy in the old work life and I couldn't put a balance to
it. We're on hiatus and now we're back. We're calling it Season 2, Season 2 of Tech Wrap Podcast.
You would like to call it Season 2.
I think we are.
I don't know whether I want to.
We can have...
Let's call it Season 2 then.
Yeah, because then we can say...
Season 2, Episode 1, welcome to a new one, and it's new for October as well.
But do we then, I think we'd still call episode whatever we're up to, 11, is it now?
12.
12.
12.
Yeah, we don't want to go into like Season 2, Episode 1. That'd be just confusing. We'll continue with the conventional naming, but unofficially, Season 2, Episode 1.
Well, that works.
Welcome.
It's a big one. It's a big one, yeah, considering we haven't been here for a little while. There's been a few big press conferences.
Yeah, a few events, things like that. A lot of phone news has been happening the past couple of weeks. A lot of phone announcements, software.
Phones came out as well.
Phones have come out. Because I'm doing it, I'll start with the Android news first. I think it takes precedent over any other phone news. Android 6 Marshmallow is now rolling out across all service providers in the country. Of course, the Nexus devices will get those updates first, and then whatever the other phones you have, that'll be up to your manufacturer, like Samsung, like to put their own spin on it, so you'll probably be waiting a lot longer for those, which is a bit of a shame, but... It's an advantage if you do have a Nexus device, and one of the perks of having a Nexus device is getting those updates first and fast.
Yep.
Which is nice.
Are these in good timing for the security concerns that have been floating around again? There's been a story in the news within the recent week or so of the fact that an exploit which was discovered a few months ago has been resurfaced in another manner by another researcher. And they say that the devices can be hacked via the delivery of audio and video files on the devices.
Well, I'm sure they'll be patching that sort of really quick across.
You'd want to patch it very quickly, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So
speaking of Nexus devices, the new Nexus devices have been announced, the Nexus 5X and the 6P. The 5X is kind of the mid-range device, a 5.2-inch screen with all kind of your mid-range specs, mid-range price points, just for that. People that don't want to go super premium, they have another option very similar to the Nexus 5. I think this is like a slight upgrade to the Nexus 5. The 6P is the one we're kind of all excited about. It's the first all-metal body Nexus, which is really nice, really slim, sleek design, you know, reducing the bezels, increasing the screen size. It's a... 5.7-inch screen size, I believe, 3 gig of RAM, dual front-facing speakers, which is always nice on a mobile phone.
It is. It's rocking. Nice to have good quality audio.
Yeah, absolutely. And you rarely see that. Like, all the Samsung phones have the back speaker and that one little one there.
And you know what I've found? You know what I've found when I have been a Samsung user for a little while? That back speaker gets awkward because you put your phone down on a surface and you cover that speaker and it screws up your sound.
It depends on the surface. I find like if you're on a harder surface, it kind of tends to bounce back up.
Yeah.
But if I put it on my pillow, then it will get really muffled.
And then that situation where I used to take phones to the shower... And I would wrap them in. No, serious.
What?
Wrap them
in. What are you watching in the shower?
Not watching anything. Listening to music.
Sure.
Listening to music.
Yeah.
So I wrapped them in two sandwich bags. And the sandwich bag would cover the speaker and you couldn't hear any audio. But now I stopped being stingy and I spent $50 and I got myself a little Bluetooth speaker. And so it's got a suction cup so you can put it on the shower glass.
That's handy.
And you can listen to music in the shower.
Well, there you go.
And if you want to be horrible, you can even answer calls in the shower. But who would want to do that?
Just multitask, I guess. what else has it got? It's got Type-C USB port for epic fast charging and increased data speeds. 12.3 megapixel main camera. What else we got? Oh, it's an 8 megapixel front-facing camera,
mm-hmm.
or a selfie camera as they're getting promoted now. 8 megapixels in your front-facing camera is pretty huge. When
it
you're
is.
Thinking like it not is. Too long ago, we were only seeing like 2.
And they weren't upgrading for years and years and years. There was a good period where...
Well, now that everyone cares about selfies and Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff. 3,400 milliamp battery. You can get it in 16, 64, or 128 gigabytes of storage. And a cool thing about it is it's got a fingerprint scanner. Most phones have them on the front or the unlock screen of the home button.
Where is it?
It's got it smack bang on the back in the middle. Kind of that point, if you hold your phone and like, where your index finger will rest, that is exactly where the fingerprint scanner is.
Right on the logo.
So it's like meant to be a supernatural, like, you know, you just put your fingerprint on the back and it unlocks your device. If you are so inclined to unlock via fingerprint, are you a fingerprint unlocker?
I'm a fingerprint unlocker, but I am comfortable with, because the Fruit phone has it on the front button, I'm comfortable with the idea of using my thumbs.
Yeah. One of the biggest decisions I made was had to make between the Nexus 6 or the Note 4.
And it took you a little while.
And I was pondering quite a while.
I remember those days.
Yeah, it was almost a week.
You missed out on a special
more,
too,
just
didn't
watching
you?
Watching endless videos on both of them. And I went with the Note 4 in the end.
Have you been satisfied?
Yeah, something like every now and again, it's nice because I still get that moment where I'm looking at my phone and I just sort of like, wow, this is a really nice screen. Like this looks gorgeous. And I'm glad I made this choice because Samsung do have like the best screens, I think, out there. Although the Nexus 6, I would have got Marshmallow by now because I could install one of the factory images that are now available. It is a bigger screen. Which I'm a big fan of the bigger screens. Although I don't have the S Pen.
I do love bigger screens.
Yes. I haven't used the S Pen that much, but I like knowing it's there.
Yep. Just in case.
I like knowing it's there, even though if I'm not going to use it, I feel like I'd miss it if I knew I didn't have it at all. So other phone news. Here's an interesting one. It's not essentially new news, but it's been out there. You know, the Sony Xperia Z5 Premium, which they're announcing that has the first 4K display of any smartphone.
Oh, yes.
And there was a big hype about that. And I think we briefly touched upon it. News came out in the past couple of weeks that after all the hype and they got all their publicity from it and things like that, they're saying that the phone will now only show select content in 4K, like images and videos which have been shot natively in 4K. Everything else on your phone, day-to-day use, will be just normal full HD.
Don't you love that? Don't you love that?
So essentially, it was all like, I think it was just a big marketing thing.
It is, yeah.
To get hype about their new phone and all the news source. And then they're like, oh yeah, and day-to-day use. Because, you know, think about it, like running 4K 24/7, how much that would drain your battery life.
Well, not only drain your battery life, think about the mobile data plans here in Australia.
Oh, if you're watching content on 4K, But I think just day-to-day use of just having your screen on in 4K, you wouldn't have good battery life.
No.
So then that is the most logical thing to do, to reduce it down to normal full HD and then play, say, 4K videos in 4K. But I thought that was pretty funny. In other phone news, the new iPhones were launched
while
we were away. The iPhone 6S and the 6S Plus. And you, my friend, were lucky enough to get one. Which one did you get?
I unfortunately got a 6S.
Not the Plus.
Not
you
the
had
plus.
Previously the larger version, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I did. I sure did.
Why?
I love the extra real estate. I was keen for one. I went into, I stood at the front of the line at our local business center because
for hours.
For about
10 minutes.
35 minutes. that's what I mean. Every other punter, there was a punter at the main Telstra shop, the consumer Telstra shop, at about 6:30 a.m. Waiting because she wanted to be the first person. and there was quite a few people there when they did open.
Oh,
but at the Telstra Business Centre, there was nobody at all until after 7:50.
So why did you not get the 6 Plus?
because they didn't have any in their stock.
Zero. They come to this event launch with zero pluses. Then no one will want this larger one.
Because you see, the Apple distribution system peaks where phones are going to go and how many they're going to get. And apparently the whole idea of it is that it's like roulette. The boxes arrive on the Friday and they don't know how many they got in their box until they do a final count, like the night before or whatnot. Oh, well, they arrive on the Thursday, because you're launching on the Friday. They arrive Thursday and they might be able to have a look in the box on Thursday night and see what counts they've got. But that's it. And they get what's in the box.
So couldn't you wait a bit and get the 6S Plus a bit later?
I could have, but I was already in the process.
Too eager, too keen.
I got the phone.
All you're losing is a bit of screen real estate, correct?
You know what? And image stabilization, unfortunately. Yeah. But if you are a good phone operator, if you know how to take images on your phone and be able to, you know, hold the device in a way that you're stabilizing it, or using other things to stabilize it, you're not going to miss image stabilization.
True. And people, you know, things shot on phones are not expected to be super smooth motion. You know, if you're watching a phone video, there's a level of forgiveness you give to the video for being a bit shaky. Anyway.
Yeah, so...
So I don't think it's going to have any sort of downsides unless you're producing a short film on it.
I'll tell you what the plus sides of having a smaller phone was.
There are none.
Cheaper plan.
Oh, really?
I'm paying less on my... Well, I'm not paying less. I'm paying exactly the same on my mobile plan as I was with my previous phone, except I've got much more data. I've got unlimited calls.
Beautiful.
And the phone installments are all covered in that figure.
Is it worth the trade-off, though? Every day you're like, oh, you look at my phone, you look at other big phones, you're like, oh, I miss it.
I kind of miss it, a little bit. Just a little bit.
So you've been playing with it for a couple of weeks now. And speaking of video, I know you shot some 4K video the other night of some balls.
I did.
How'd that come up? Balls. I saw your screenshot, but you haven't showed me the video yet. But,
balls. I haven't shown anybody the video yet. You know,
but how did it come up? Like, was it beautiful? How was the low light? How were the balls captured?
It was actually very, very good for a camera phone. I've not been able to, at this point in time, compare it to other 4K vision.
But it looks really nice.
But given that given the low levels of light, it was able to quickly adjust to, you know, the way things were changing. Because essentially what this act was, it was people on these flexible poles, girls standing up the top of them, and they were strapped to the pole.
Swinging around and they were
swinging back and forth, and they had like
it was majestic,
like you call it balls, but like lit balls.
Yeah.
What are they? I can't even think of them. They're like light cover, like light shade sort of things.
I think you'd have to put up a screenshot on Twitter.
Need to put a screenshot.
Yeah. So that screenshot you sent me. Put it up, Tech Wrap Podcast.
But yeah, that they were moving back and forth, so that meant the lights were moving around, and so the camera was, not able to be keeping up with every single motion, but it did work out with, being able to pick up light changes reasonably quickly, and capturing people's faces as well. And I also did. I used the functionality to be able to zoom in and out as well on the actual phone itself.
Better than the 6, your previous?
I think it is for the video.
So that's a tick for the camera. How are the other features of the phone generally, like the whole usability, the interface? Like, I know you were beta testing this software anyway, so essentially it's just the same as what you were used to, isn't it?
Oh, no, but there's a couple of extra hardware features.
All right, so it's a bit faster, a bit zippier.
It's definitely zippier. The Touch ID actually works very quickly. So if I just show you now.
Double click. Is that it? That scanned your fingerprint.
Yep.
And unlocked the device.
Yep.
So if I double clicked it, that would not happen.
It wouldn't work.
Like, give me a test here. I'm going to double try and unlock the phone here. No, try again. Try again. No. All right, you go now. I just want to see this. So you hold it or you double press?
Well, you have to press it to activate the screen if it's off. Mm. So
that's pretty impressive. How many times in different angles have to do your fingerprint?
There you go.
How many times did that take?
It does it about, I think... you put your finger in two different position, your thumb in two different positions.
I imagine every time you do it, it would maybe learn a little bit more.
And to learn it, you have to go tap, 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 and it like draws a little, like a picture on the screen with your fingerprint.
Yeah.
And builds the fingerprint, and you can add several fingers to it. So that if you have got a situation,
what about toes? Can you add toes?
I've never tried.
Could you theoretically? I think you could.
Yes, you could.
Can we next week try and unlock your iPhone with your toe?
With your toe? Well, with my toe? Yes, yeah. We could try that one.
Yeah, look forward to that.
The force touch is
yes.
Gives you
how's
not,
that going?
Handy little
do
additions
you find it,
to things.
Like, do you actually use it?
I'm still getting used to it. Because, you know...
You've gone so long without it there, and now it's a new feature
and
that
it's
you kind
new
of
feature
have to remember to use, and you know how to use it without using it, and you just naturally do that anyway.
Exactly.
It's going to take some time for
people
to get used to it.
It's having the memory that it's there and taking advantage of it. But great little sections, like, you know, the camera, take selfie.
Yeah, straight into selfie mode.
Selfie mode. There you go. But I don't want to take a selfie of this because this I look dreadful this afternoon.
The worst.
I look rubbish.
Like a ghoul.
I wasn't asking for your opinion on that one.
So, say I have a 6.
Yes.
What are you going to say to me to convince me to upgrade to the 6S or the 6S Plus? Why am I doing this?
Well, you're a power user, so you use your phone for several hours in the day. You're like a fast phone. You take some photos and videos, and you like a better quality image. And
so you're seeing upgrades across the board and everything you mentioned from the previous phone.
Well, yeah, there has been quite a few upgrades to it. The only downside was they went with a slightly smaller battery.
Oh.
Slightly smaller battery life. It's only just. But it's enough to
mention. Your bigger phone your previous phone would have a bigger battery in it, though, wouldn't it? Does the 6S Plus have a smaller battery than the 6 Plus?
It's a slightly smaller one as well.
But surely they would, you know, I guess they would say they've made improvements in the software and optimized it to reduce battery use.
That they say as well.
The lack of bigger battery, I guess.
That they do say
as
well.
How do you notice it, though, in actual sort of hands-on time? Are you feeling like, you know, when you look at your percentage at night, are we seeing similar usage as your previous phone?
I would say I am starting to plug it into the charger a little more. Like, I actually do make a habit of plugging it in the car now.
Is that because you're low or because you just want to be topped up?
Because I'm lower.
Really? So you are actually noticing.
Compared to my 6 Plus, because my 6 Plus, I could charge that overnight and then have it going, you know, active across the day right through until I got home and I was settled down and I really felt like getting a charger out.
Mm.
So you could go up until 9 o'clock at night. On the last.
Is it fair to compare it, the Plus against yours, though? Because wouldn't that one had a bigger battery?
Yeah, it's not
so
really.
You can't
it's not really.
It's an accurate comparison to say.
It's like
you need to compare it to the 6 and the 6S Plus.
It's apple and oranges when you're talking about two separate models.
So all in all, you're happy with the upgrade?
I'm happy. Apart from the smaller screen, I am happy with the upgrade. Look, I am getting...
If you could go back in time, knowing what you know now and how you feel now, in that exact moment where they say, we only have this one available, would you say, oh, I'll wait and get the bigger one?
Well, with the benefit of hindsight, I might have gone to another store.
So you think...
And got a business deal somewhere else.
And got the bigger one.
And got the bigger one. Because I like the bigger one.
Is there any chance of being able to swap it over in the future? So you're stuck with this till next year.
It's a contract deal.
Till the iPhone 7 comes out.
But you know what you can do?
That'll be here before you know it, though.
You know what you can do?
The rumors already circulating about it.
No. Well, you know what you can do with it? Other family members like having newer phones, so you can do the deal with them.
You can have mine and I'll get a new one.
And for the time being, and when the contract's up, you know, we'll swap again and then you upgrade
around
again.
It.
Yes. But I must say, the one good thing when you do the numbers of companies like Telstra offering the new phone feeling is the overall cost of the ownership over the 12-month period, including the amount you have to pay to finalise that phone to go to the next phone, you're paying less than $400 for the handset in total. So that's
it's all right.
Well under half the price of buying the handset brand new and then wanting to swap 12 months later.
You're working for Telstra now.
I'm happy with that. No. I'm not working for Telstra. Did you know that when it comes to these phone launches, telcos like Telstra are not allowed to, on radio, advertise that they're selling these phones on launch day.
Really?
Most they could say is, we've got, of course, a big phone launch on Friday. They weren't allowed to say it was the Apple iPhone.
Do you know why?
Marketing, Apple would be restricting the marketing of the product.
Because what they want to promote their stores or something. Why? What benefit do they have for doing that?
They probably don't want tie-ins with all these other shops in some way. I don't know for certain, but I got told they're not allowed to market the Apple iPhone on launch day as like radio based promotion.
But any other day, like after the launch, they can?
I assume they're allowed to sell it and say they're stocking iPhones. Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Do you know what else happened this week?
Surprise.
Microsoft had a big sort of launch event, the Microsoft Devices event.
Yeah, it was many devices.
I accidentally caught it. It was like 11 o'clock at night.
What do you mean, accidentally?
Like, I was just browsing about.
So you wouldn't usually look at that sort of thing?
I was looking at Twitter or something, and it was like 11:30 or something, or midnight. And it's like, the device event starts in 10 minutes or something. And I was like, oh, that'd be interesting. So I kind of checked it out and watched bits and pieces of it. A lot of things were announced device-wise for Microsoft. Mm-hmm. A lot of big stuff that I know you'd be interested in, I'm interested in, a lot of people would be interested in.
And updates to existing devices which have been successful for them, updates to devices which haven't been so great, namely the fitness band.
Well, let's get into it.
Yeah.
They started off the event with the HoloLens. Have you seen this? Have you seen any tech demos for the HoloLens?
I recall the HoloLens, but I haven't actually seen demos of it.
So basically think of it as sort of VR.
Mm-hmm.
But not VR. It's like augmented reality.
But not as you know it.
Strapped to your face. So interactive augmented reality, HoloLens. So basically it's like projecting holograms onto things and you can build things and tweak them with your hands like Minority Report style. It's a very sort of a different experience to, you know, your Oculus Rift or other type of VR headset stuff. So they came out and they announced that they were going to be shipping developer copies of the device, so devs could buy them and test it out and try it up. I think it was like 3,000 US, and you had to be a developer, something ridiculous that consumers would, you know, wouldn't do anyway. But they came out on stage and they did a tech demo called Project X-Ray, and it was really cool because they had one like a holo camera that could sort of see everything he could see through the HoloLens, and that's how they demonstrated it, and they put that up on the screen. So basically, it was a game. And it showed off what the device could do. You sort of had your hand out and you were holding a controller and it detected your hand and then put sort of like this holographic cannon around your hand. And wherever you move that, it would actually track and stick to your hand, which is really cool. And what it did, it used objects, say, in your living room. They had a mock-up living room. You haven't seen this?
I haven't seen it, no.
And basically, the HoloLens can track everything in your room and is aware of the space and objects and everything and then can apply holograms or objects to that. So it initiated the game and it had a wall, like your house wall, and then a robot started to burst through that wall and start sort of flying out at you and shooting lasers at you, and you'd take your hand cannon and then fire back at the robots. So that's really cool because it can take your wall and then things can come out of it and it can, you know, tear it apart and it can fall on your floor and things like that. And yeah, he proceeded to do that as a little game, which was really cool. Other things I've seen in the past were you could build something in Minecraft and like manipulate the world. You could do some stuff in like a CAD design software, like 3D software, where you could take it and look it around and just think of like holograms and things like that. So very cool. So I'm looking forward to seeing what more they do with it and maybe even trying it down the line one day. So that was kind of cool to sort of get everyone warmed up. Next up was the new Microsoft Band.
Yes.
Which is smartwatches and fitness bands, you know, hot property in the last couple of years.
And this is the version 2.
So, yeah, they originally released the Microsoft Band when everyone else was in the whole smartwatch fad. So, you know, first generation stuff, it was kind of big and bulky and ugly. And they had a good idea, but it wasn't very clunky. Yeah. It was not really that practical. So they've come up with the Band 2 now. It's like a whole new design. They've got a curved display, so it actually doesn't look like a brick on your wrist. It actually kind of goes around your wrist, which is really nice. What else they got? It's like Gorilla Glass 3 now, so it's really scratch resistant. They've amidst all their huge sensors, you know, to track, you know, GPS in there. They've added a barometer, which not many people do, so
yes,
you can detect your elevation, whether that be stairs or mountain climbing Everest, which I know you like to do on the weekends. heaps of cool sensors, and they're trying to things that tend to be a little bit gimmicky that they promoted, which I thought was kind of cool. It was like a golf software.
Yep.
So you could
Your swings?
Yeah, you could track your swing. It'll tell you what hole you're on. It'll tell you the distance of the hole. So you could put in pre-programmed courses and stuff. But the cool thing is learning about your swing and probably give you data back on that, how you can improve your swing and improve your game for really kind of cheap. And you think of any sport, maybe you could do that and adapt that and have one for cricket or tennis, backhand, forehand, any sort of like exercises and things like that, and get all this data from it.
Yeah, it can work very well.
Which is really cool. They got sensors in there to track your how well your body is like oxygenating, and which is a test of your cardio fitness and things like that. So how well your body can process that oxygen. So all these crazy sensors in there. It's got dual the heartbeat sensors in there, so really accurate heart rates. So they've gone all out on the health and fitness side of things on this band.
Which is what you want to do with that sort of product, given all
it's
the competition around.
It's not really a smart watch, right? Is it? It is, but is it more like a fitness? I guess it's like a hybrid.
Yeah, it's a hybrid.
I guess you can still access, there's going to be apps on it. You could have your Facebook on there. You can have your mail client.
It's a hybrid because they're looking for the people that want the sleekness and that of the device. But they're building in the features of the smartwatch into something which has got a display like a smart band.
Because they want to be efficient for every sort of area of your life. And no matter what you want to do, they want this band to be for you. And priced quite reasonably too. It was $249 US, which is pretty standard across the board
for
what it is.
Not bad, yes.
And how much stuff it's got packed in there and what it can do.
And what you can expand on with it as well compared to the other devices. Like Fitbit is another big brand. And theirs are around, you know, one of their good ones is probably around the $300 mark.
Yeah.
But you can't do much extra with it.
Yeah,
it just does
like
fitness tracking
thing.
And that's it. Nothing else.
And this will have sort of heaps of apps being developed for it and, you know, the whole consistent with like Windows 10 sort of stuff going. Mm. So they'll be always in development, always pushing forward. So might be interesting to look at, but how do you choose one? There's so many out there.
There is. There's so many.
So many smartwatches coming out, so many fitness trackers. How do you say this one's for me?
You've got the Fitbit range. You've got the Garmin range. You've got Apple Watch is one of the contenders as well with all the Apple Health stuff.
You've got all your Google Wear devices.
Google Wear. Yeah, there's so many out there.
New Moto 360 coming out and Huawei Watch.
Huawei.
The Huawei Watch, which is amazing, which looks really amazing.
It does. It looks very good.
Really bad charging dock. But
yeah,
really good.
Well, we did agree that was ridiculous, given the fact that it's like a magnetic surface, but you've still got to clip it onto three dots to make it charge, which means you have to really work on lining it up. And can I tell you, from the time I've experienced with an Apple Watch, and that's got the magnetic round clip on the back, the magnetic round clip clips to it, that can still be a challenge to get plugged in at night. When you're laying in bed and you don't give a stuff, but you need to give it a charge.
That's why the dock is the best, the upright dock. You just sit it in the cradle and it's good to go. And it acts as a nightstand as well, which is really cool.
I'm getting one of those dock-style things to put my charger cable in.
I'd almost get the 362 version 2 just for that dock. It's so nice, although the other one looks a lot nicer. Speaking of docks, Microsoft are releasing the Microsoft Surface. Dock. Ah, getting ahead of yourself.
Yeah,
I am. The Microsoft Dock.
The Dock.
So it's basically part of this thing called a, they're calling Continuum, which is called the consistency across all devices and being able to use other devices as other devices and still being compatible and consistent with all devices. I'll explain what I mean. So it basically
like a load of
allows
bullets,
to turn your, say, your Windows 10 mobile into a Windows 10 sort of PC with
ease.
Which
is cool.
Which is really cool. So you get this dock and then you can, you plug your phone into it and then you can plug a mouse and a keyboard in it.
Yep.
And essentially it'll give you a Windows 10 desktop experience from your phone.
From your phone, yeah.
And then you can do stuff on your phone. So you, say you're and the demo they showed was Outlook, which was a really cool one. So you'd, it'd be all sort of formatted for your phone and everything would be nice in there. And then you bring it up onto your through the dock onto a big screen. It'll completely upscale beautifully and you can use it just like Outlook on Windows 10 on a PC.
Which is so convenient.
That is awesome. So you don't need to lug a whole laptop around with you. Just have this dock. But then I kind of like you need a mouse and a keyboard.
Well,
I guess if you're in an office or you're traveling, all you need is a dock and you can just borrow the peripherals and have all your content on your phone.
Yep.
You know, that'll be synced with like your OneDrive or whatever in your cloud that would be on your PC and then you can make changes on your phone. It will automatically sync back to your PC. Really, really cool stuff.
It is convenient in an office situation and in this situation where you take stuff home. Even that situation, you buy one of them for work purposes and you have your laptop at work and this device and you could transfer stuff over your OneDrive to that. Take it home. You've got a dock at home with a keyboard and mouse and so you can do your teleworking from home on your phone.
Yeah.
And you're just carrying this thing in your pocket.
There it is.
Beautiful.
The display dock.
Beautiful.
The phone news just keeps on going. Microsoft also
They released their Lumias, didn't they?
New Lumia range, the Lumia 950 and the Lumia 950 XL were their sort of flagship devices. The
no
XL
being secrets about the XL part, hey?
I wonder what that means.
Extra large?
Oh, yeah. The 950 is 5.2 inches and the XL is 5.7, which is the same as the Note 4 and the Note 5. And, you know, it seems to be the go, 5.7.
Well, it has been. You only look at the success of those and also the iPhone in its Plus variant. People have been happy.
The only other bigger phone, I think, is the Nexus 6, which is 5.9, I think.
But there's a point where it starts getting ridiculous.
I think I could handle it. So that was really cool. Yeah. And the Lumia phones, when they first came out, there's the flagship Windows phones, they were really hyping up the camera and the camera quality and how great of a shooter it is. And that was very much a big thing. Again, here they're trying to get back to saying, you know, remember the Lumias for having that really great quality.
Yeah.
It's rocking a 20 megapixel camera on it.
Unheard of at the moment.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Unheard of.
You know, megapixels don't mean everything.
Yeah, it doesn't.
You know, as everyone sort of is beginning to become aware of. But apparently they're really nice and they've got dedicated shooter buttons on them, which is also nice.
That's handy.
Phone can be off and you go, oh, there's a cool shot, and you just pick it up and click, and it's got the photo. Or you can hold down and start taking video.
And
which
I
is really
had
nice.
That feature with a Nokia some time ago. My first phone that I put on a contract when I got my job in the commercial radio scene was a Nokia N95. That was the one that had like the slide up screen.
Yeah.
And it had the keypad.
Slide phone.
And, yeah. And it had, it was all about taking photos and getting decent quality photos. And it had the shutter button. So you could actually launch it from the shutter button, or you could slide the screen down. And there was touch buttons there as well that you could launch different things.
Very nice.
So, that idea is still pretty good.
Yeah, so I look forward to people getting their hands on like review units of these and start testing out the camera and video and seeing actually how good it is. They also released the Lumia 550, which is like their cheap sort of budget low-end phone, just for people just to want to cover their whole spectrum to get people. They really want to get people on Windows Phone, basically.
You know what they're going to have to change if they want people to get on and stay on Windows Phone? If you look at all the models that have been released by other companies over time for the Windows operating system, like Nokia's Lumia releases, the phone has a short lifespan.
Mm.
Unlike iPhones, unlike Android phones, they get to a point where they just go, oh, no more updates for you. And then the phone is just left out in the cold.
Well, they want to change all that with Windows 10.
Yeah.
So they get Windows 10 on those phones and then they just, you know, continually update based on that Windows 10.
Because I did have a Lumia phone at one stage and
yeah.
it got
pretty
to
much
a
everything
point,
like if you're not on Windows 10, you're kind of screwed.
Yep.
You got to get on Windows 10 and then you'll be kind of right from this point forward, I think. So that phone will only be like a couple hundred bucks, like 140 US or
and
something.
And they're out in November, aren't they?
Super cheap. Yeah, coming out very, very soon. So that's cool. So they're kind of covering the whole range, really want to get Windows onto everyone onto Windows 10. One thing they showed off was Windows Hello, which is, you know what this is? So it's like face unlock sort of thing. Biometric unlock.
Yes, I've seen this BBC Click when I was watching their TV show one day.
Yeah.
So very nice.
They've seen it, but I've seen this in the past. I can't remember when it was, but it was years ago. And phones had like a face unlock. It could have been Samsung, but it was really a dodgy one. And I think they recommended you have a PIN as well or something. Because I swear I tried out face unlock and I was like, couldn't I just take a picture of someone and unlock it with that? Yeah. And I tried it and it worked. So it's not that secure, but apparently this is meant to
be a
lot more secure. And they also showed this across on their Windows 10 PC stuff, if you have a webcam or something. And the demo they showed off was you can set up accounts for your whole family.
Yep.
And then whoever just sits in front of the computer will see their face and unlock their account. But again, like very gimmicky, because like how's that different from then setting up like just multiple user accounts and you just click your name?
Well, you don't
like,
just
such
click,
a gimmick.
You don't just click your name. You click your name and then you have to type in a password.
Click password.
And then...
Yeah, I know, but still, like, come on. Like, how lazy are you? Sit down in front. Like, it's a cool idea.
But it's like touch-sensitive...
Fingerprint-style
things.
I know, I guess.
I like this because it opens very quickly.
Oh, yeah, it's people so get quick. On board, but I think it's just, like, it's gimmicky.
You know the disappointing part about it is the fact that it requires, in the Surface tablet... It requires the proprietary equipment. So there goes all us previous Microsoft Surface Pro users. It can't just utilize a webcam which is already in there. They want a new device. So that means you have to buy the one that is coming out.
Well, speaking of the Surface tablet,
that's what I'm talking about.
The Surface Pro 4
yes.
was also announced and shown off. So I don't know how keen you are. It definitely looked very impressive when they were showing it off. Looked very nice. Lighter, faster. I don't know about the screen. This is a 12.3-inch. Do you know how big yours is? Is it a bigger screen?
No, it'd be around the same size.
Around the same size, but probably like less bezel.
It's a 13-inch like device, but then you've got a bit of a bezel and everything.
So this is probably like reduced bezel. Just like it's thin as it. They like this is as thin as it possibly can go. Mm. And it's funny you said the only reason it's not thinner is so we can put USB ports on it.
Yeah.
They could actually go thinner if you didn't have USB ports.
Well, you only have to look at other tablets to see that. Isn't it ridiculous? Now we need to develop thinner USB ports.
Yeah. So, yeah, it just looked really nice. Like, if I was going to get... Because my problem with the Surfaces were they were probably a little bit too big and bulky for me. Coming from like a tablet,
yeah, you're coming from the tablet.
I'm very much seeing it as sort of just like an enhanced tablet, and it's too big and bulky for a tablet.
But I come from the laptop point of view. For the last.
So if you want it to replace your laptop, this is a go. Yeah.
For the last 10 or 15 years, I have, when I haven't been at home, carried around a laptop so that I can do things on the go. So to go from a laptop, a 13-inch laptop, while they're fairly light, they're still bulky. A Surface Pro, and in the current variant 3, is a lot lighter and a lot easier, and it's even quicker to get out and utilize because of the whole idea that it's always on and you know, fans don't spin when the screen's not activated and whatnot. So
yeah, I will admit
it's good.
Of all the Surface Pros, am most inclined now towards the 4. Like, if I was ever going to get one, it would be the 4 and moving forward. Like, everything previous was just a little bit too big and bulky, but this actually looks really, really nice. I'm kind of tempted, but they're so pricey.
And all sorts of variants of CPUs now, but the price is inflated this time. Like, yeah, it's gone up with all this development.
I think it was like starting at 1200 US or something, so.
Yeah, and I was looking and like an i5 option that someone quoted with a good hard drive and a good amount of RAM was well over $2,000. It was like $2,500. And it's like,
you can go up to 1 terabyte of storage on these and 16 gig of RAM and i7s, I think.
And if you pre-order, you get to customize your configuration a little bit. Because traditionally you pick one of the models. Like in the past with the Surface Pro 3, they go, all right, we have an i3 version, we have an i5 version, an i7 version. And you can get these in 128, 256, and like 500 gig, and that's it. And that was all you had. So being able to provide you with some more options and customizing them just a little bit more is a wonderful thing as well.
They also unveiled a new type cover.
And it's long called for too.
Do you use the type cover?
Use the type cover. I've had problems with the type cover.
So this one's
as well.
Thinner, lighter, and they've spaced the keys out nicely.
Rather than just squashing them all together like a laptop.
Does that appeal to you?
It appeals a little bit more to me now.
Compatible with the Surface Pro 3, the new
there you go. And that's where they have started to make the smarts, because all their previous models of Surfaces that had type covers were incompatible with each other.
So
if you had a Surface Pro 2 and you went to a 3,
so big and bulky,
you'd have to get another type cover.
Yeah. Well, now this one's compatible. You'll have to try it out and then maybe you'll pick up one.
I might be inclined to upgrade my type cover and just keep my Pro 3 at this point in time.
Yeah.
Given the fact that I only paid it off just a few months ago.
Yes.
I'm not keen to upgrade at the moment. And also given the fact that CPU technology has not advanced in major leaps and bounds in the last couple of years. So
it's to be very much relevant.
I don't actually find the need to go and do a big upgrade right now, if you know what I mean.
There you go. I look forward to sort of checking it out and learning. I want to get one in my hands and feel it. So when they hit the stores, I'll definitely be going now, checking it out, feeling it. Of course, they went on about like the pen. What do they call it? Do they have a name for it? Microsoft Pen?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can't remember.
You know,
what
Samsung
it's
has their S Pens. Apple has whatever they call it. Apple Pencil. I don't remember the Microsoft. But, you know, they're like, oh, you know, it's really easy to store. It's like magnet and you can sort of stick it anywhere about it. Not finer point, better touch. There's no battery in the pens. I don't know if there was a battery in the 3.
There was a battery.
Yeah, so they've removed the battery.
There was two batteries.
Completely. And they say you're going to get a year's battery life out of it. Then you have to replace it. So they just want you to keep buying pens so they make money off the pens. But their justification was like, oh, a normal pen runs out of ink and you need to replace it. So, you know, we thought we were taking the same sort of design principle, but we all know it was just purely money making grab scheme. Every year you have to buy a new pen.
Can I admit at this point in time, although I do use it as a tablet sometimes, I haven't used the pencil, the stylus. In a little while now, because I had a cover which was like a clip shut cover originally, which it was a real cheap one and it was nasty and horrible. So if you dropped the device, you probably damage the device. But I changed across to a hardened case, which you had to, like, it goes around the frame and it provides support to the back and everything.
Oh, wow.
And because that didn't have an ability to store the stylus, I have not been carrying it around with me. And I just haven't been using it.
Yeah.
Even at home, I haven't bothered to use it.
Yeah, it's one of those things, I guess. Like, I don't know. You'd only, like, if you were an artist and you were drawing,
Or doing notes, like doing lots of notes every day and you wanted to go to a digital form, it's actually not bad.
Yes. They were demoing marking up web pages in the new Spartan browser, whatever, the Microsoft Edge browser. But like, I don't know who
that
does
features
that in real
there,
life.
But I've never used it.
I don't see why you would. Like, if you don't need to circle as anything, you can just say, hey, check out this link and send
click
them the
it.
Whole link, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. another big announcement from Microsoft was the Surface Book.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is Microsoft's first laptop ever.
Yeah, well, they've
never made a laptop before.
They've let vendors do all this before, and the Surface has been the first computer that Microsoft has built from the ground up to their specifications.
They definitely hyped it a lot.
And given the fact that they've only been building these machines for, you know, 5 years or so, they've decided now that they've done that and they've advanced and they've got good sales on the Surface Pros, that it's time to get into these laptop-style devices too.
They made the claim that it was the most powerful laptop on the planet.
I don't know how they can justify that.
Oh, I guess it's like of anyone that makes some not custom-made ones, right?
But yeah.
I think they could be comparing it to the MacBook Pro.
It's not
like beats it out in every way.
It's not going to hold that reputation for
very
long.
Not for long, but at this very point in time, it might well be.
HP will come out with another one, I bet.
It's a 13.5-inch display that supports both stylus and touch, which is really cool.
That's handy.
12-hour battery life, they say. Microsoft designed keyboard, which looked really nice. Add like those curved keys that so your fingers just sit really yep. nicely in them. A glass trackpad. Obviously, I know some Apple have the nice glass, do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's something that's really nice. Super smooth tracking, like really nice big glass trackpad. It's got this snake sort of hinge on it. I don't know if you've seen it being opened or not. They call it like a dynamic fulcrum hinge on it. So apparently it can flip all the way around.
Yep.
Which is really
cool. Some models do at the moment. Lenovo's do.
So great flexibility there. But one of the coolest things was, I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. That to look really sleek, really thin, super premium. You can flip it around. But the coolest thing is you can actually detach the whole screen of the laptop and then carry it around like a tablet.
Ah.
How awesome is that? And you can leave your keyboard and you pop it off and you basically got a Surface.
Yep.
So not only does it have a stylus, you can pop it off like a Surface. And then when you're done, you can plug it
use
back
it like
into
a laptop.
Your laptop, which is awesome.
But it's a full laptop,
it's
unlike
a full,
the Surface.
Powerful laptop, way faster than the Surface. But then, so it's basically like, if you have the money, this could completely eliminate your Surface. You wouldn't want a Surface.
You wouldn't go a Surface, no.
You'd go the book.
You wouldn't go a desktop either.
It's, and now having seen it, I'm very impressed with it, but it's so expensive. Like to get the top of the line model, you're looking at thousands of dollars. Thousands of dollars.
And it's going to
look in Australia, almost like $3,000.
It's going to outdate very quickly as well.
Yeah, it's such. Don't buy it now. Like, but I want to. Like, if I had money, I'd be buying this. So it's weird because I guess if people don't want the full laptop experience, but then if you have a Surface and then you buy the type cover, you're basically getting you're buying a budget laptop.
The reason people buy Surfaces is to have the experience, the full Windows experience, to have the full power of an Intel Core CPU, but to not have the bulk.
But
like
this laptop isn't bulky.
Yeah.
It's so sleek and nice. So yeah, if you got the money, there's no reason for it. And so that was another thing they were pushing is, you know, Windows 10 unified across all their devices and being consistent and a seamless user experience across, you know, your mobile, your Surface, your laptop and your desktop.
Which
everything
is
being the same, unified apps across all devices, unified syncing, OneDrive, everything.
Yep.
This is what you're told. This is true living your life in sync. And this is what they want to push with all the Microsoft products. So things you do on your phone, you go home and it'll be automatically all done, ready for you. Exactly the same on your desktop. Go out and with your tablet out to a business lunch or a client meeting, whatever, exactly the same as your desktop and your mobile. And you can access all these things at the same time, unified.
Sync. This is how it should be.
This is how it should be. And this is what they're trying to push. And it's only going to get better and better and better, which is really cool. So it almost makes you want to get a Windows phone. You know, they're very much, Apple did this for ages, you know, like with the Apple laptops, iPods, then the phones, people are like, oh, I already got an Apple Mac. I need to get my iPhone now, you know, to have all my devices consistent.
Yeah.
But it was never really true unification. They're all different devices and you can never access it. It was just the illusion of being, you know, everything the same. So it's more easy or
but
something
it's not
like that. No,
in reality,
this is
no.
actually proper unifying all your devices, which is awesome.
And now that they're looking at that, they're making a smart move, considering they are not turning over, like they're not turning over profits from their Windows operating system as it currently stands.
Yeah, as
because a lot of people got that for free, given
they had
Windows 7.
Still giving
it away
for free for the first year, yep. Free upgrades. And why wouldn't you, like, when you want people on it, and the best way to do it is to do it for free.
It is. And you know, aside from the Xbox, the software,
yeah, they're of course the X with all the get they're updating that as well, so they can unify it. And what else have they got?
Get all your devices
everything.
In one basket, unify the experience,
everything,
and make the reason why people have
HoloLens,
got Microsoft,
the band, Windows Phone, Xbox, Surface, Book.
People have got Microsoft because it all works,
yeah, seamlessly.
And Microsoft is the biggest software product used by business around the world.
We just need everyone. It'll be years before everyone gets onto Windows 10 business, though.
It'll be another year or
that's
so.
That's the biggest challenge, I think.
Yeah.
Another thing they were showing off across all their devices is the Cortana, their assistant, like Google Now or Siri, which was really cool. So they want to implement that in not only the phones, but the band as well, and on your desktop. So they actually want active listening on your desktop PC at all times.
I don't know how I feel
so
about this.
So at any point in time, you can just like ask it things, it'll give you things, and it'll learn about you, it'll snoop into your mail, bring up events, it'll know your whole life basically. But the AI is really cool because they showed off some demos of natural speaking or like conversational commands, conversational commands.
Yeah.
So rather than saying just like call Bob,
yeah,
you're like,
you
hey,
say,
can I give Bob, get Bob on the
call.
Line.
Yeah.
Get Bob on the line. It's like, oh yeah, cool. I was thinking about messaging Bob today and saying, hey, how's it going? Like you can actually have like a proper conversation like it was an assistant. I was thinking about booking a flight tomorrow. Can you give me all flights from, say, 7 a.m. till 12 p.m.?
Yeah.
And then it'll bring up all the flights within that search thing. So a lot of conversational stuff, which is really, really cool and exciting.
Now I say I don't know how I feel about it listening all the time, but
I know everything about you.
But hey Siri, it listens when you say hey Siri. So
yeah, it's all. I'm
already in
on.
There. I'm already
like,
in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
I guess they're all the same. So basically, Google have all your data, Microsoft will have all your data, and Apple will have all your data. Everyone will have all your data.
Look, they have all my data.
They got your fingerprints.
They choose how to use it, and in most cases, I feel okay with that.
Stay out of trouble.
As long as they don't start, you know, using that data to share to other people.
Well, they do anyway. There's all third-party agreements.
It gets too extensive. But at the moment, my privacy hasn't been... My personal details haven't been stolen and my identity hasn't been stolen. So
I'm Trent.
I'm comfortable.
I'm Trent.
You're calling yourself Trent.
I'm the real Trent. So that was pretty much, that's pretty much the wrap.
Let's pull a can on this
Windows
Microsoft business.
Device.
Yeah,
it's been huge.
Yeah, lots of stuff.
Oh,
lots of
goodness.
Stuff. Microsoft has potential now.
So there you go.
Microsoft
Massive.
Has potential
I feel
now.
Like we're some a little bit caught up about the happenings over the past 2 weeks. But of course, there has been some other news about the place. What's been going on that you've sort of...
Yeah, some of the most
come across your desk.
Musings that have happened across the week. UK police, and in specifics, their counter-terrorism officers.
It's like MI6?
Yeah, like that sort of thing.
MI5
have come out and said, you know, we are really trying
James
to...
James Bond?
Well, not that. We're really trying to hamper the activity of these, terrorist groups in our country, and we want to crack down a little bit more, and we want to trace more information. But all this stuff is going on to social media, and when we approach the social media companies, they aren't so keen at handing the information over actively.
That's a good thing.
Well, it's a good thing that they're not handing out average users' information that regularly. But if the police bring paperwork to you and say we want this information, you should be handing it over. There shouldn't be any business of trying to encrypt it and hide it and not want to share it with authorities.
So what are they saying?
Because in most cases, authorities have valid, you know, valid needs for this data. And they're not just mining person's information. They're tracking down these dodgy causes. So, yeah.
So they are finding it difficult to track people. But who's planning attacks on Facebook? Who's creating the Facebook group? Well, let's bomb this.
No, didn't
join my group.
Didn't you see this?
Discussing all the details.
Didn't you see business in Sydney last week, where this young bloke turned up and gunned down an employee of the police force?
Yeah, but what does that have to do with Facebook? Was he saying it on Facebook or something?
He was doing stuff on social media.
Yeah, but he acted alone, didn't he?
He acted alone, but he was a part of religious groups, which they connect the activity to.
Yeah, who knows?
He's a funny one.
From death to funny.
Yeah, from death to funny.
I like it.
Interesting. A third of all emergency calls in a San Francisco call center, so that ends up being 30%, are from bum dialing.
Or pocket dialing.
Pocket dialing,
pocket calls, is what I refer to. Bum dials, pocket calls. So just, how does that work with touch screens? You know, you think once we went to touch screens, there's no actual physical buttons.
You know what happens?
Somebody gets an erection when the phone's in their pocket and their dong hits the dial.
Yeah, their dong hits the emergency button. No, you get a situation sometimes, and I've seen my family members do this.
Yes.
The screen's activated for 2 minutes.
Not the erection part.
No.
Okay. Just wanted to be clear.
So screen's activated and they just put it down and leave it like that. Yeah, so okay. If they're putting it in their pocket, and I have done this with a smartphone.
I'll put my hand up as well.
Previous version of an iPhone, I've put it in my pocket.
We've all done it.
With the screen facing towards my leg, and you're walking up and down the street and it's just swiping past things. And it just starts
swiping past things.
And it just starts dialing a number. And I have dialed my boss by mistake.
Awkward.
When I was walking down the street during a lunch break, and he thought something was up. So he put me on speakerphone because he had other colleagues in the room, and they decided to listen to see whether they could get anything out of it. I realized,
you were
like
ordering a Subway or something.
A minute or two later, that I was in that situation and hung up immediately and
That's
felt
funny.
Very embarrassed. And he told me when I got back to work. So 30% of calls have somehow managed to bump the emergency calling option.
I believe it.
Because all you have to do, you only have to, when the screen's activated, even if in lock mode, swipe across, hit emergency, and then you've got the button. And then you can hit a button.
Careful.
And ring an emergency service.
Yeah, I've done it. Sometimes, like, because I don't have a case of I accidentally hit my on button when I'm putting it in my pocket, or my jeans will bunch up around it and actually press against the on button and then turn on. I know there was a time when I was rocking the hypersensitive mode.
Oh, yes.
The setting, because we were talking about this.
Because you thought it'd be great to be able to use your phone with a pair of gloves on.
Yeah, what is it called? The mode.
I
can't remember what the exact name they call it, but like super sensitivity. Mm. So you can use your phone when you're wearing gloves and stuff like that. And I was like, well, why don't you have the sensitivity on all the time?
Until you realize
what it
did. It
doesn't make any sense. I can use it when I'm not wearing gloves. I can wear it when I am wearing gloves. Why wouldn't you always want to use it? And then I found out when I had just had my phone in my pocket and it was picking up my leg and just turning my phone on, wasting all my battery at all times. My phone would just come on in my pocket. So that's why you don't use the hypersensitive mode all the time. Yeah. Only when you're like wearing gloves, you know it's going to be cold outside.
And you know what the bad side of this 30% figure is?
How do you differentiate between a pocket dial or being then kidnapped and just have muffled?
So they have to ring back the person.
Yeah, but if you're kidnapped.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so if they ring back and say, oh, sorry, I didn't really mean to do that. Okay, and if they don't get that, then they investigate further.
Yeah, and so they're spending time chasing up all these pocket dials. So they're wasting resources.
Time and everything.
And overtime and all that, yeah.
Stop pocket dialing, your bums, make sure it's screens off.
One more quick one.
Here we go.
Facebook has teamed up with internet.org. They did this a little while ago, but by the second half to by the second half of 2016, they will have launched new satellite services to allow 14 areas across West, East, and Southern Africa into mobile internet access. So that more communities can get online either free or very cheaply.
Yeah, there you go.
And give people this resource of the internet that haven't experienced it enough or at all, really.
All you have to do is sign up to Facebook.
I've got no idea about that.
Surely. I know Google do this as well, trying to provide really bad areas with internet.
I thought you were going to say really bad internet.
No.
Google doesn't provide bad internet.
Areas where you wouldn't get internet otherwise due to infrastructure restrictions or anything else
like that. They did the Google balloon thing, didn't they?
Yeah, Google balloon, Wi-Fi stuff, giving people access. Other Facebook news that you mentioned, Facebook, is that their company is revealed today that they're testing reactions.
This is the new
whole Facebook's adding a dislike button, which is all clickbait stuff, and if you clicked it, you're an idiot.
And you got scammers scamming you into dislike buttons.
Trolled, yeah. So, but we speculated that they would be sort of emojis sort of thing, and that's what they are. So they're testing, they're calling them reactions, which are basically they're experimenting with 6 emojis right now that can be chosen when liking a post. Or when just liking a post doesn't feel right, you need another way to express an emotion, namely being empathy. You know, my something relative just passed away. You can now
show empathy
without clicking like, which is always a bit awkward because you don't know, do I click like or not? So they're testing them out in select areas with select people, like a testing group, and then, you know, they'll get feedback on if they're good, if they're bad, and then maybe they'll start rolling them out. So expect to see those kind of head in your way soon.
You know what select areas is? Picking a certain amount of the user base and just forcing them onto this new system.
Maybe.
Because that's what they do with all their updates. They provide a new update and break something, and then, you know, you can't view Facebook on your mobile device until they update the app, or the website looks funny, or something ridiculous like that.
Crazy.
It is time we start moving on now. Thank you for listening to Tech Wrap, the podcast.
Season 2, episode 1.
I thought we weren't going to call it season 2, episode 1.
Episode 12. We're back.
We'll be back next
Feels
week.
Good. We could have talked for so much longer, just saying.
We could go for hours.
To catch up next
people
week.
People would get a little bit bored of that. The big Microsoft episode, though.
We got things wrapped
up on that one.
And phones, so much phone news as well.
Thanks for listening. You can get in touch with us. We're online at techwrap.net. You can email... I don't know our email address.
You can email.
You can email.
You
just go to our website.
Go to techwrap.net and check it out.
And you can tweet as well. TechWrap Podcast is what you're looking at. Thank you for listening. I and Will.
Yeah.
We'll catch you next week.
See you then.